Where you want to start, fellas?
You
want to start with Matt Duchesne being offsides and work our way out from there?
Because from there,
I want your thoughts on that.
From there, it's spun out of control.
And how that kind of affected the rest of the third period.
Let me ask you something. If you're just standing there at the blue line watching Roman Josi carry the puck and you have no defenders, Roman Josi has nothing that's going to obstruct him from smoothly going over the blue line with the puck, and you're watching the play, what in the hell are you doing taking yourself offsides? Matt Duchesne is a professional hockey player. Everyone understands the blue line and offsides. What in the hell was Matt Duchesne doing all by himself, standing at center ice, stepping over the line offsides as Roman Josi's carrying the puck into the zone? That right there is the game.
Can I tell you what he was doing? Continuing to be a worthless sign for this franchise.
Well, I'm not going to jump into the deep end of the hot take artists that say Matt Duchesne should be benched, Matt Duchesne needs to be thrown in the garbage, Matt Duchesne needs to be this.
Yeah.
But I am going to say this. Matt Duchesne's been on three previous NHL teams. I would rather have the Matt Duchesne from any of those three teams, including the incredibly short stint that he had in Columbus where he scored a ton of playoff goals, than the Matt Duchesne that's currently on the Nashville Predators. Than the Matt Duchesne that wanted to be a Nashville Predator for years. Than the Matt Duchesne that said, I'm all about that Tennessee life. Living on the lake, going out in the woods, country music, hunting, dogs, hockey. Where is any of it?
Yeah.
He came out of the gates in October, and this might be what's worst of all.
Mm-hmm.
He was the hottest player in the NHL the first 5-7 games of this regular season. The first handful of games that he was a Nashville Predator, he continued being the dominant offensive threat that he was at every stop that he has had in his career. So, I know it's not just he signed with the Predators and then stopped being an offensive player. Somewhere around the end of October, Matt Duchesne went into a slump and has never come out of that slump. His stat line yesterday was absolutely abysmal. His 15 minutes of time on ice, his 2 minutes and 1 second of power play time, virtually invisible. Now, you extrapolate that out a little bit farther, and he is absolutely destroying his line mates. Craig Smith, stupid penalty at the end of the game, just trying to do too much, trying to be over-aggressive, being frustrated, whatever. It's a dumb penalty. He knows that. We all know that. But Craig Smith, overall, was not having a bad hockey game yesterday. 4 shots on net. He was strong on the puck. He was skating hard. He was playing well. Now, I can't say exactly the same for Granlund. Granlund was suffering without having Duchesne accomplishing and achieving anything out there. But Matt Duchesne's minutes yesterday were completely wasted. I am not going to sit here. There are so many hot take artists out there since yesterday afternoon. You got to bench this guy. No, you don't bench this guy. You put this guy out there to take the opening faceoff for game 4, and you tell this guy, you owe us. He took the Preds offsides when no one was around him in a play that just reeks of losing mental focus. And I am so sick and tired of talking about the mental focus of $8 and $9 million players. If Rocco Grimaldi can maintain mental focus from start to finish every shift that he's got out there on the ice while being the smallest guy on the team, then you should be able to do that, especially when you're a veteran. Not one of the guys on this team that has a high-priced contract is a youngster. They've all been in the league plenty of time and long enough. And the first line, they're exempt from this conversation this morning. That first line showed up yesterday. As a matter of fact, their play was so dominant yesterday, they had the only points for the Nashville Predators. The goal, both assists, and they generated 15 shots on net.
They were flying.
Ryan
yesterday.
Johansson, big body, dominant, number one center yesterday. I don't ever want to hear another question about him. The same form in 2017 that beat Taves, that beat Kessler, mm-hmm. and that could, without injury, have beaten the Pittsburgh Penguins, was on display in full effect yesterday. Johansson's leading the team in scoring through 3 games with 4 points. He is at 64% on his faceoff. That is Yannick Perreault-like. And for me to use the name Yannick Perreault and describe that as someone else's faceoff winning percentage, through the roof. Incredible. Duchesne has showed up. Forsberg has showed up. Arvidsson has showed up now. Game 1, I couldn't say that. Now that second line, completely dragged down by Matt Duchesne's ineffectiveness out there, and that limits what everyone else can do. The Nashville Predators could have won that game yesterday easily. John said it great. Both teams elevated their competitive level. That's really, really impressive considering it was 21 hours after they had just competed against each other in a playoff game. Both teams look good. I didn't see the old, wow, they're really dragging ass here as we move along. They're clearly running out of gas. Both teams, same lineups. Only one different player for Arizona. Same goalies, same lineups, same teams. Went after it 24 hours apart, and the Nashville Predators, the Jekyll and Hyde thing continues. Game one, they don't show up, mentally fall apart. Game two, mentally focused, strong, team, ready to go. Game three, a little adversity, they fall apart again, and they end up losing 4-1. And by the way, I have bagged on Matt Duchesne this entire segment so far. Matthias Ekholm is a defenseman that I want to qualify before I make this statement. I would start an NHL franchise around Matthias Ekholm.
Oh,
I think he's
a glue guy.
That good of a top pair defenseman, except Josi and Ellis are here, so he's on the second pair, helping educate a young defenseman and make him a next great top four D-man. Matthias Ekholm yesterday had quite possibly the worst game that he has had as a Nashville Predator. On the game-winning goal against, he vacated his defensive responsibility to go to the other side of the zone to help a forward that already had his man pushed to the outside and covered. Rocco Grimaldi had everything under control. Why Matthias Ekholm vacated an entire half of the zone to leave a guy come in untouched from the blue line, and then as you notice, Ekholm tries to get back in position because he overcommitted. He gets toe-dragged, faked out of his skates. His ankles are probably sore from that one today.
But where was Fabbro in that?
Fabbro was with Grimaldi on his side
of the ice where he's supposed to be. Fabbro and Grimaldi had the play under control. Ekholm vacated an entire half of the ice, leaving the back door wide open, then got posterized by a guy on the Arizona Coyotes. An incredible goal. That's a great goal by Arizona. But if you vacate your defensive responsibilities, that's what you have to stay in your zone. It's at low levels of hockey. It's when you're in high school, college, low-level juniors that you chase the puck, that you leave your zone and go running all over the place. The Preds had that under control. Matthias Ekholm, that was just one play. That's the most obvious play. The overall game for Matthias Ekholm was absolutely brutal. Turnovers, misplays, bad passes, bad defensive coverage. Perhaps Matthias Ekholm was feeling the effects of playing just a day before. But for that dude, I mean, I could probably count three fingers of awful games he's had because he's so damn consistent. But for have one of his worst ever to come up in this situation, just bad.
Well, what do you do with this second line? Do you keep it intact? Do you move Smith up? What do you do?
Do you keep it? Roll them. It's on them.
Yeah.
John Hines was brought here to fix the problem. When he came here, he said, the first thing I need to do is work on the mental toughness over the hiatus, which was equivalent to an off season. He got to know his players is what is everybody saying. He worked with them. Philip Forsberg talking about how he worked on his mental game. Well, in three important games since the Predators come back from a hiatus, two of them have featured mental shutdowns, heads down, sulking lapses that led to losses in the playoffs. John Hines needs to roll the same players he rolled in every game so far. This is on them. If they want to keep playing hockey as a team this year, they need to go out there and do something. The coaching staff can only do so much. The GM has given them the contracts and put them in place. If the players fail to accomplish what they're capable of accomplishing, then the Predators will be out, and the bonus upside is they'll have a 1-8 chance of getting the number one overall pick in the NHL draft. That's not a lot of consolation if they don't get it, considering the humiliation, which would be losing to an 11 seed in a qualifying round of the NHL playoffs.
You know, I tweeted after the Duchesne play, I said, this could only happen to Kyle Turris. You know, I mean, this guy with a potentially monumental goal, maybe the biggest goal he's ever scored as a Nashville Predator, to put his team up 2-1 and potentially win that game and take a 2-1 series lead. And, you know, the Duchesne play, you know, it's something that they'll be talking about all day. Like you said, there are a lot of hot take people out there saying,
it's nonstop.
Bench this guy, get rid of this guy. No, you don't do that.
No.
But
As a matter of fact, instruction left.
But there's no excuse for Duchesne. Like you said, you got to have your head in the game.
Matt Duchesne's a premier NHL power forward, top offensive scorer, 30 goals multiple times, no matter what team he's been on. 4 coaches in 5 seasons. Regardless, he goes out there, he plays his game. It's hockey. He's an offensive threat. The guy that once got the benefit call of being like 3 feet offsides in a regular season game when he was in Colorado against the Predators to score a game-winning goal for the Avalanche, yesterday takes himself 3 inches offsides at the most important time of the season. It is a lack of mental focus, and that is a concern for me. A guy that wanted to be here as badly as he wanted to be here, even putting out his Instagram photos with the 3-star t-shirts on and all that stuff. Dude, you got to get it done, man. If I'm John Hines, I have nothing to say after this going into game 4. I roll the same lines. They know what they have to do. How many times can you say, boys, if something goes wrong, we have to be more resilient than that? The team in 2017 that made a run to the Stanley Cup final and unfortunately lost in 6 games, what set them apart from this team and every other Predators team and what allowed them to go on a run and finally get over the Blackhawks, finally beat those teams, was their mental toughness and their resilience. That team could be down by 3 goals with 8 minutes to go, and the fans in that building would still sit there and be like, all right, every 2 minutes we got to get a goal, and we're going to force overtime, and we're going to win this thing.
You just knew they were going to, at worst, tie it, if at best, get 4 goals
and
win it with like 2 seconds
left. You've already said it, but I'd love you to repeat it. How did you feel when that second goal went in yesterday for Arizona? Or, I'm sorry, when the offsides and the Preds' second goal was disallowed? How did you feel? It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
Well, especially when Arizona scored to go up 2-1. I said, this game's over. I said, it's going to be 2-1. And it's obviously they get the power play goal. It's 3-1. I knew it was over. But
well, guys, I know we gotta wrap this up. Yeah. So I'm just going to say, Juuse Saros, his first playoff series as a starting goaltender, he's been okay. Mm-hmm. He's not been
terrible.
Great. The numbers for the series, though. Any playoff series, you're going to need your goaltender to steal 1, and you're going to need him to be really good, if not above average, the rest of the way. A 303 goals against average and a 900 save percentage through the series is not good enough for any goaltender to win any series.